Blog Talk Radio.
Against your character, you will win. You will win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. Came up against your business. Time, you will win. You will win. Oh, you will win. You will win. Yes, you will. Oh, you will win.
You will win.
I wanna let you know today that you will win.
You will win.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I know you're broken,
Hello, and welcome to the show. I can't hear anything. Hello, and welcome to the show. In and out. Let's try that again. You set the speaker? Oh, I can hear myself now. It's not the best, but I can hear myself. Okay, I'm trying to get situated. It sounds like it's like kind of in and out. Yeah, it sounds choppy. Give me a minute here, everyone.
It's not fun.
Okay, let me try this again. I think it might have been my phone, because I sound clear now. But we're going to put a speaker on here anyway, or a mic, just to be safe. I can hear you, too. Your whispering is not good. I can hear you. Welcome to the show.
I'm trash.
Terrence has the loudest whisper on the planet. But welcome to the show. I am your host tonight. I am Tanisha. Terrence is going to be in and out. He's getting ready to leave. He's going to go out of town. So keep the family in your prayers. We had a death in the family. His Uncle Major. But the good news is that Uncle Major was on this earth and is now for eternity a man of God who loved God and had given his heart and life to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So while we are mourning with the family, we're rejoicing with Uncle Major that he has transitioned and he has made it to the other side, and he is where we aspire to be. So really excited for him, and just keep Terrence in your prayers because he's going out of town once again.
Yeah.
So remember what happened the last time he went out of town, but we know that this time it just, you know, the last time with the accident that happened, it just made us, we said, you know what, we're just going to be more diligent about praying for travel and mercy, because we had kind of gotten away from that. So we just, you know, we know what to do now. Now we're just more aware about praying for travel and mercy. So you'll probably hear stuff rustling in the background and that kind of thing. It's just Terrence packing his bag because he'll be headed off tomorrow. So anyways, tonight, I'm excited to be here to pray and minister over you and hear what the Lord has to say. Today is June 16th. It's 2021 at 7:17 p.m. Central Standard Time. And just very excited again to be here to hear what the Lord has to say. So one thing that the Lord was speaking to me about earlier was understanding. And how as a body of Christ, we really need to seek understanding of God, because you can have knowledge of something, but you can have no understanding of it. And so in order for us to be, to really walk in the fullness of wisdom, right, we need to have understanding. And so I want to read some scriptures tonight about understanding. So one of them is Proverbs 3:5, and let's read that in Amplified, because that's my favorite. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Okay, so that right there lets us know that there's different forms of understanding, right? And just different forms of insight, because it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. And so if we shouldn't be relying on our own insight or understanding, then that means that we need to be relying on the Lord's insight and his understanding. Okay, so let's read another scripture. I like this one. Proverbs Let's Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you so that your ear is attentive to skillful and godly wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, seeking it conscientiously and striving for it eagerly, that, yes, if you cry out for insight and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek skillful and godly wisdom as you would silver and search for her as you would hidden treasures, then you will understand the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, and discover the knowledge of God. Okay, and let's continue on with verse 6. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores away sound wisdom for the righteous, those who are in right standing with him. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, those of honorable character and moral courage. So it's talking about how we gain understanding, right? Because we can search for understanding. We have to gain something, we have to seek something, right? So if we're seeking understanding, the Word of God tells us how to get understanding. Again, Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I want to compare that to the King James. So listen to King James Version. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And so if you read the scripture, okay, both versions, first it says, for the Lord gives wisdom, right? And then there's a semicolon, and it says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So of course we know with a semicolon, it's continuing on the thought of the first, you know, what was said first. So what this is telling us is, what is wisdom? Wisdom is a combination of knowledge and understanding, right? Let's read it again. For the Lord giveth wisdom, semicolon, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So that is how we gain wisdom. And so, again, it's not enough to have knowledge. You can know about something, but if you don't have understanding, now you're not walking in wisdom. And you can have knowledge about something, and you can be leaning on your own insight and your own understanding, which means now that this knowledge with your own insight, or this knowledge with your own understanding, is not wisdom. In order for it to be wisdom, the knowledge and the understanding has to be coming from God. And we know what the Word of God says about obtaining wisdom. It says what? We have to have a reverential fear of God. And so tonight, I know I've spoken on this before, and I'm going to continue to speak on this as I'm led to do so, because this is the point that the Lord is really trying to hammer into us as the body of Christ, because we live in a society, we live in a world where we have a lot of knowledge being thrown at us all the time, all sorts of knowledge, right? And we need to know how to process that. So we need to be seeking God for the understanding of it. Because sometimes the knowledge is pure utter lies from the pit to hell. Sometimes the knowledge is given with the giver thinking that the knowledge is truthful, but when they received it, it was under fraudulent means, or it was under deception, and they don't have the awareness of that. And so we have to always be seeking God and filtering everything through God, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. There's a lot of things being told to us. We don't know. I hear all the time right now, people, they don't even know what to believe. Look at what's going on with this coronavirus vaccine. A lot of people tell me that they don't know what to believe concerning it, because there's all this knowledge from different sources. And the world, okay, this is how the world deems what knowledge is worthy and what's not worthy. They go to what? Credible sources, right? That's what they go to. So if Bob's Garage Institute said, yeah, this is about this, John Hopkins University said, yeah, this is about this, because John Hopkins has a reputation of providing credible information, they're going to roll with what John Hopkins is saying as the truth versus Bob's Garage University. That's how the world operates. So that's what they determine and deem what's credible or not, because of the history of the giver of that knowledge. But when you have man-made institutions, there's what? There's men. And when I say men, I don't mean gender. I mean mankind. And where there's mankind, there is an opportunity for what? Corruption. So somebody could be from a distinguished university that has a history of providing credible information, and somebody has come in that has now made it their mission to trick or to destroy or to lead astray. And they know that they'll be able to easily do it. Nobody's going to double check what they're saying, because they're under the cloak of this credible source. And so even as people who are part of the world system, we have to remember that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So just because a source that was credible in the past has given us information, we can't say, well, I could believe that because this person is credible. Or I could believe the government because that's what they do. I could believe the CDC, or I could believe whatever the case may be. It's not about being paranoid. It's about being diligent. And we have an obligation as believers to be diligent about the knowledge that we have and the information that we share or spread. And so how do we pick through it, right? How do we determine the good from the bad? We have to go through God. We have to go through God. And that's why the relationship with God is so important, because we can't lean on other people all the time. We have to have a boldness, and we have to be able to go before the throne of God ourselves. And of course, God uses people. We all have roles in this earth. You know, so yeah, you've got a person who just they have fire prayers and they're very prophetic and they give you good sound wisdom, and nobody's saying don't go to them. But I'm saying above all, you need to be going to God about everything. About everything, especially where there's confusion, you know, because there's a lot of confusion that I'm sensing within the world. People are confused. They don't know which way to turn because you got this person saying this and you've got that person saying that. And they don't know what to believe. And then this person's making it seem all catastrophic, but then what's happening doesn't line up, you know? So people are becoming mistrustful on certain things. And so we need to be, as believers, it is our job to be leaders, right? We are the leaders in the world. There are leaders who are called and there are leaders who are picked. And what happened with the, you know, when somebody picked something, let's see what happened in the Word of God, right? When the people, they wanted a king so bad, they determined, they picked to have a king because the judges weren't good enough for them. They wanted a king. They picked that. And so God chose Saul, even though God didn't want necessarily for there to be a king. But the people picked that. They decided that. And what happened with Saul, he became corrupted. And so God had to then come in and he'd make a choice flat out and choose David to come in and take over. But the initial pick of even having a king was from the people, and then God had to clean it up, so to say. So we have to be very careful about what we're picking and make sure that it's lining up with God. And what is God picking? What is God choosing? Because sometimes we make choices based on groups or communities that we're part of, right? Because our church community or our community, our local community is going with a choice, or our race, our racial group is going with a choice, or our nationality, they're going with a choice. But what is God saying? We have to be choosing according to what God is saying and picking what God picks. Because we see what happens when people make a determination and God kind of just, you know, in that case with the king, God gave the people what they wanted, but then it kind of went to pot. And they had to come in and choose somebody else, even though the initial whole thing of having kings wasn't from him initially. But God made it all work out for good, which is what he will do. He'll make it all work out for good. But we need to be really seeking that knowledge and understanding, and not just wanting to know a whole bunch of stuff. It's not enough to know. You have to have understanding for it to be wisdom. You have to have both. Some people have a lot of knowledge. They know about a lot of things, but then when you start to pick their brain and want to go deeper, they fall flat. They fall short because they don't have understanding. They just have knowledge. Well, they know that this is a, you know, strawberry cake and it's got, you know, buttercream icing and real strawberries sliced on top and flown in from Italy, chocolate shavings on it. And it's a culinary masterpiece from this chef. And it comes straight from Italy this how many times a week. That's knowledge. But then when you start to get, you want to understand, well, what makes it better than other, you know, strawberry cakes? Well, what's the main ingredient? Is it made with whipped cream, or is there, you know, buttercream in it or heavy whipping cream? How do they make it? Is it special baker's flour? They don't know. They have no clue. Because they just have some knowledge, but they don't have understanding. They have knowledge, yeah, this is the best. This is our top seller. But I don't understand why, because I don't even understand what makes it different than the other cakes. So it's not enough to have knowledge. You need to have understanding so that you now have wisdom. Because wisdom, it's like a globe. Like you, now you can see it from all angles when you have knowledge and understanding. And we need to be seeking God for knowledge and understanding. And even when we get knowledge from the world's knowledge, we need to be asking God for insight and understanding about the world's knowledge. Because there's knowledge from God, directly from God, and there's knowledge that the world, we're picking up knowledge every day. We're collecting data. There used to be there was a movie back in the day called Short Circuit, and it was about this computer, Johnny Five, that came alive, right? You guys, I'm aging myself. I know some of the youngsters, they're like, what? Look it up. It's a cute movie, family friendly, from what I remember. There were like three of them. It's like Short Circuit, Short Circuit 2, and I think Short Circuit 3. But this computer, he's new to being, quote, alive, and so he's needing input. And so that's what he's going around, need input. So he's watching TV and doing all this thing, gathering all this, and it's making him more alive. And it's so true that as you're living, as you're alive, every day you are collecting input. You're getting data every day, like a computer. You're getting data. And how is it processing? You know, sometimes you just eat the meat and leave the fat. But sometimes the fat's staying too and you don't even realize it. And so we need to be processing things through God and asking the Lord to quicken us in our spirit when something don't sound right. Something don't sit well with you and not feel pressured when something's not sitting well with you, feeling pressured because this credible source said it and saying, no, you need to shake that off because that credible source said it. No, if something feels, you know, off, you need to be asking God, what is this that I'm feeling? Something feels off. I know that they're saying that this person's credible or this institution is credible or this whatever group of people is credible, right? Because all credible sources, whether it be a political party, an institution, whatever, it's all just made up. It's just groups of people. That's all that it is. If we want to break it down to the bare bones, it is just a group of people that has a covering over its name. Instead of saying, you know, Pennsylvania group of people, they'll say, you know, Penn University or whatever the case may be. It's just a label that identifies a group of people. But that's all of this is groups of people. Political parties, they're what? Groups of people. Universities, they're groups of people. Certain scientific labels, and it's groups of people. The CDC, groups of people. It's all just groups of people. That's it. And so when you're feeling the pressure, you feel like something's off, but this group of people are saying, no, you know, shake that off, or we're credible. Trust what you're feeling and ask God. Don't just roll with anything. Even if the groups of people are believers. People make mistakes. So if something feels off, something feels wrong, you need to be filtering that and say, Lord, give me insight. Lord, give me understanding. I don't want to rely on my insight. I don't want to rely on my understanding. I don't even want to do it. I don't want it. Give me your insight, oh Lord. Give me your understanding, Father God, so that my feelings can line up to the truth. That's what we all want, because we're all human beings, right? We all have feelings. But what we want is that we want our feelings to line up to the truth, because sometimes your feelings could be a complete lie. You could be feeling some sort of way, and you could be really strong about your feelings, and you could be having some strong feelings about something that's not true. It's not the strength of the feelings that makes it credible. Now, your feelings are valid because you are feeling them, but just because your feelings are valid doesn't mean that they are true. And so we can't even gauge based on that. We need to say, Lord, give me insight and give me understanding, because I want my feelings to be lined up to the truth so that I'm making moves based on the truth, so that I'm speaking out based on the truth, so that I'm filtering based on the truth. That's the goal. It's not about being right over a person. It's about being right with God. That's it. I'm not trying to go into battle with you. I'm right and you wrong. It's not about me being right and you being wrong. It's about us both being right with God. Because I don't want you to be wrong either. Because I love my neighbor as I love myself. So I don't want to be wrong. And if I don't want to be using my own insight, understanding, and if I want my feelings to line up to the truth, then I need to want those things for you as well. Because love is what? It's not selfish. And so I want to gain these things so that I'm walking in the truth, and then I want to tell you the truth. Because that's real love. That's loving your neighbor as you love yourself. When Terrence and I come on the air on Wednesday nights, we're not doing it to gain brownie points with God or to get an extra crown. We're doing it because we love you. We don't benefit. You benefit. Because now you're on the side of right. Now, maybe something we said has got you, your juice is spinning, got you thinking, got you seeking in a different way, or has changed your perspective, or has broke you of something that didn't need to be on you, has given you some sort of freedom because of love. Because we love ourselves, we love God, we love people. It's all love driven. And so when we're doing these things, when we're seeking the understanding and seeking the knowledge, which makes us have wisdom, we don't seek it just for ourselves. What does it benefit you to hoard wisdom when you know what it does? It helps you to walk in truth. It gives you God's insight. Come on, somebody. God's insight. So as a body of Christ, we need to make sure that when we gain these things, that we are sharing them. Because we've got people all around us. They're confused. The best way to clear confusion is wisdom. Confusion is like it's like a bacteria. And wisdom is like the antibiotic. And so if you knew that you had the cure, somebody's just sick and just falling apart, and you got extra pills, would you just withhold it from them? No. You give it to them. And look at people who are confused and walking around in worldly knowledge and worldly insight. Look at them like that. They need the cure, which is wisdom. And they may not want to take it. And that's fine. It's like when you go to the doctor, if you go to the doctor and you've got strep throat and they prescribe you an antibiotic or something, you don't have to take it. But you know it will cure it. So you keep letting that throat burn and do all it's going to do. And if you get sick of it, eventually you're going to take that antibiotic because you get sick of your own spit making you bust out full-blown tears and you a grown man. If you've ever had strep throat. I've heard of it making grown men cry when you have a nasty case of strep. So you give them the wisdom, but if they don't want to apply it, that's on them. But at least they know what's going to cure the ignorance. And if they see walking in their own understanding and insight keep getting them nowhere and they just stuck in the mud, they eventually will apply it. So we need to be given that wisdom. I'm seeing all these platforms being used by ungodly, worldly people, spreading all sorts of lies. It's just lies. It's crazy. the stuff that I see that everybody got a podcast, everybody got a platform, everybody got a voice, but every voice doesn't echo the voice of God. People are eating it up, going along with it, because it's a type of ministry. The devil is ministering too. He's using these ungodly, worldly voices to minister. And so where are we at as God's voice here on the earth? We need to be speaking too. In a minute, I want to look up the word minister, and then I'm going to start answering calls. Let's get the meaning of it. Minister. Definition. Let's go Merriam-Webster, because that's my favorite. Here we go. To give aid or service, right? You minister to the sick. Of course, the main definition is, listen to this one. The main definition is agent. And then for the example, it says the angels are ministers of the divine will, meaning I guess the angels are agents of the divine. So an agent. I like that. I like that. That ministers to me. Agent. Listen to this other one. One officiating or assisting the officiant in church worship. Okay. A clergyman or clergywoman. Okay. A high officer of state entrusted with the management of a division of governmental activities. Okay, I like that. To give aid or service. And I saw another one. It might not have been Miriam. Okay, here it is as a verb. This isn't Merriam-Webster. This is when I put it in Google. To attend to the needs of someone, right? And then for the example, it says her doctor was busy ministering to the injured. So the word minister, right, it's really tending, taking care of, it's serving, and it's an agent, right? So if anybody knows anything about insurance, when you have an insurance, typically you have an insurance agent. So they're acting on behalf of the insurance company, right? So a minister is an agent of God. They're acting on behalf of God, which is why a minister should be ministering, right? Rendering aid or providing the word of God, because you're an agent of God. So like if I'm an insurance agent, then I'm going to give you paperwork and I'm going to write policies under the insurance company that I'm an agent for. It wouldn't make any sense for me to be, we're going to use real terms, if I work for Progressive, it wouldn't make any sense that I'm giving you documents from State Farm. That means that I'm not being a good agent of Progressive, because as an agent of Progressive, I'm supposed to be selling Progressive products and services and insurance to you, not State Farms. Because now I'm misrepresenting Progressive. And so we are agents of God. And the devil got agents too. And they're using all these platforms and they're ministering his message, which is lies and confusion, which is counterfeit. It makes it sound so good. I be listening to these people. I'm like, man, I see how people fall for this. I don't fall for it, but I understand it. And I try to understand it through godly insight so that I know how to combat it. Because I want to get into the inner workings of it so I can dismantle it. But I don't hear enough of our people on these platforms telling the truth. Too many people are cowering to the side. And so again, to go back to what was originally ministered tonight, we as a body of Christ need to be seeking knowledge and understanding, which gives us wisdom, not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others, because there's a lot of erroneous information that's out there. There's a lot of things that society is trying to normalize and desensitize us to, and we need to be using wisdom to speak out against it. We need to be echoing the voice of God. The echo follows, right? Let's look up what does echo mean. I know I said we're going to look up that one and then get to college, but I'm flowing with the spirit. Reflection of sound waves. Repetition. Listen to this. I like this. Hold on. Let me close my door because my kids seem to not remember that I have a show that I'm doing. All right. Repetition of an idea, feeling, style, or event. Repetition. Right, so we should be echoing God. I'm going to slide him into this. We should be repeating, right, have repetition of God's ideas, okay, of God's feelings, of God's style, and God's events. It's synonymous with a duplicate and a copy. So if we're out as agents of God, we need to be echoing his ideas, feelings, and style about things and not our own, because that's what I'm seeing a lot of within the body of Christ. I'm seeing a lot of division because what I'm picking up is a lot of people are throwing their own ideas and feelings and stuff out there, and that's not your job. Again, if you work for Progressive, what are you selling me a State Farm policy for? You're being a bad agent of Progressive, because when you become an agent and you, there's different types of agencies, and you might have a contract with them that you could only sell their product alone. So what you talking about State Farm stuff for, Progressive agent? So if you are an agent of God, what you talking about Bob stuff for? You supposed to talk about God's things and the Word of God. If it's not in the Word of God, then you're not supposed to be presenting that and representing God with what's not in his word, and adding your own to it. Don't add or subtract. Subtraction is just as bad. Eliminating. And let me speak on this. I'm not going to speak on that, even though it's in the word. No, now you're taking away from the word. We're living epistles. Don't take away from what you know to be true and what you know is in there. Ignorance is different from subtraction. You knew it was there and eliminated it. If you subtracted it, you took it away. Versus if you didn't know it was there and you found it. That's two different things. So we need to be getting that wisdom. And so when we're out there with our voices, and then you don't have to be on a major platform. If God is prompting you to get on a platform, get on the platform. There's all sorts of platforms out there. People doing all sorts of stuff on these different platforms, using their voice or selling, you know, goods and services, all sorts of stuff is being used. You could use it too for however God tells you to use it. But make sure that you are being an agent of him and not adding or subtracting if you're going to be representing him. And make sure that you're asking for his insight and understanding, not your own. I don't care how much experience you have and how many degrees you carry and how people look to you. And because you have a well-deserved reputation, you're not beyond deception or falling short. None of us are. We need Jesus every day. No matter what our background is, we need him every single day, every second of the day. Because these seconds are on his time. We don't own time. None of us own time. He owns it. He created it. So we're on his time. So every minute, second that you have, it's because he allowed you to have it. The time belongs to him. You just in it because he's willed you to be in it. So never think that you are in a place where you don't need to go to God because I'm an expert at this. No, he's the expert. always, always, always be going to God and stay humble to say, I need him. I don't care how much money is in your bank account, how well things are going, your skin is glowing, your teeth are finally the shade of white that you want them to be. You got the career of your dreams. Your kids are all acting right. Everybody's serving the Lord wholeheartedly. Your grass is finally green, that brown patch, and cleared up. Your spouse acting right. Your dog is potty trained. Everything's going great. You need the Lord. You need him. So never get to the point where you are going rogue. Even when I give advice to people in my personal life, I'm praying about it. What do I need to say? Because I'll formula. I think very fast, and so somebody could give me information, data, and I can give back something quick like that. But I go to God. God, how do you want me to word this? Or do you even want me to say that? Or you know, I'm relying on God, even though I know I possess wisdom, and I know that I have a lot of information. I have a lot of data. I have a lot of smarts and intelligence, but I can't rely on that. I rely on God. I don't rely on that because that could be taken, that could be gone just like that. So I'm always leaning on the Lord. I don't lean on my own insight. I don't lean on my own understanding. I'm asking him, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to even do? Sometimes he tells me not to do nothing. Sometimes to stay out of it, Tanisha, that's not your battle. And that's the approach that we need to have in life. All day, every day. Let's do a collective prayer. And then what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to do like Randy does, because, a lot of y'all got y'all. I didn't even realize. I've just been going on and on. But I'm going to unmute you, get your name, pray for you, and go to the next one, just like Randy does on Wednesdays, because I want to get everybody tonight. I really feel like I feel the anointing very strong tonight. So I really want to pray over every single person. I want you to have the opportunity to catch some of this anointing. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thankful, Father God. Thankful for the time that we are in right now, because we know that we don't own time. You own it. You created it. You made it, and you put us in it for such a time as now. And we thankful, Father God. Lord, as a body of Christ collectively, we ask for your understanding and your knowledge, Father God. And if there be anyone amongst us who doesn't have the reverential fear, Father God, help them, guide them, direct their steps and paths so that they can have it, so that they are in a position to obtain wisdom, Lord Jesus. And help us to use our wisdom, not just for ourselves, but for others, Lord. Help us to be good agents. Help us to echo your heart, your feelings, your words, your actions, your events. Help us to be a light in this dark, dying world. Help us to be able to navigate through all of this information that's constantly being thrown at us and navigate to the truth and to bring others, to show them the path to the truth. And give us, Lord, the words to speak to those who are on the side of wrong. And help us to always have the goal of not trying to prove somebody wrong, but try to bring them over into right. Give us a love perspective, Father God, not a battle, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and wickedness in high places, Father God. Help us to keep that on the forefront of our minds, Lord Jesus, so that we win people over to you, and we do our part in this world to spread the gospel, spread your love, spread your word, and advance the kingdom. And let us all to just do our part. Let the hand be the hand, and the feet be the feet, and the head be the head, and whoever, whatever each person is, let them be content with who you've called them to be and the role and the part that they play in the body, and let them do it with love, with duty, with obedience to you, and with joy in their heart that you chose them for that. That they're doing what you called them, what you created them to do. Let us not have envy amongst us or jealousy, but let us be content in the will that you purpose and designed for us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And just help us collectively as a body of Christ to grow, Father God, closer to you and to draw closer to you, and help us to take on the hearts of Christ. Let this all be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, so I'm going to go down the line. Let me get my paper because I'm a little loose. I want to make sure I get everybody. Sometimes people will drop off, and then I'll be like, did I pray over that person? I want to make sure I get everybody. All right, let's start here. 251-342. I can't hear nothing. Hold on, let me turn it up. There we go. Hello, can you hear me? 251-342. I think I know who that is.
Hold on,
I can't hear you.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
It is well, in spite of.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I figured it was Latrice, but I figured maybe
yes,
you could.
I'm sorry, Latrice, Alabama.
There we go. So we knew it was you, but we wanted to just, you know, let our callers know. Well, I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to pray for you. And go to the caller. Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now for Latrice, Father God. Just thank you for the rise in her, Father God, the rise. I see you, Latrice, like it's like the Lord is putting spiritual yeast in you. You know, and it's going to cause you to rise. Like if you've ever made bread, I'm pretty sure you've made bread from scratch. I know you could cook. I just sense that. But as you know, it's different if you make bread without yeast than if you make bread with yeast. It even tastes different. But I see God putting like a spiritual, it's funny because I'm actually seeing like the yeast, putting like a spiritual yeast in you to cause you to rise. I want to look up yeast real quick. Now I know what it is. Yeast definition. I know there's like a whole there's a science, right, behind yeast, something that causes ferment or activity. Let's look up ferment. This is what I used to do as a kid. I would look up words and then look up more words from there and look up more words from there. Okay, so ferment definition says, okay, let's go here. To undergo fermentation. Okay, come on now. Oh, listen to this. To be an intense activity. To cause, to undergo, to work up. Okay, development. To incite. To provoke. Oh, I like that. But that's what I see. I see God putting spiritual yeast in you, causing you to rise, which means that you're being fermented, you're being provoked and incited, and those aren't always negative things. Sometimes people hear provoke, and typically we use that, right? We use that word in a negative sense, like, oh, they were provoking me, you know, when somebody's trying to get you riled up. But to provoke doesn't have to be negative. Just like people think confrontation is a negative word, it's not always a negative thing. Because one of the definitions of provoke is to stir up purposely, right? You did it on you're trying to stir them up purposely, and that's what I see the Lord doing. He's stirring you up on purpose. He's provoking you to get to where you need to be, to rise. And you need to be in high places. I've said it about you before, and I'm seeing it again, that God has called you to to really minister to and mentor and provide wisdom to people that are elevated in the world, right? People with high titles and who are looked at as prestigious, right? Like even heads of churches, you know, the lead pastors and all that kind of stuff, that people typically are always seeking answers and seeking guidance from them, but not necessarily providing, because they kind of look at them as above everybody. But God has called you for these, for this type of person. Everybody needs to be ministered to. Everybody needs correction. Everybody needs somebody to pour into them and give them wisdom and guidance, even those who are leaders and at the top, so to speak. Because in the body of Christ, our head is Christ. So even a person who is the, quote, head of something or the lead of something still has somebody who is the head and the lead of them, who is Christ. And Christ is going to use whoever he wants to use to get their attention or to speak and minister to them. And so that's who you are. So Lord, we just thank you right now for Latrice provoking sight. Father God, ferment. And put the spiritual yeast in her so that she can rise. She's going to rise above the petty things that's trying to irritate her. She's going to rise above that. That stuff is like such a non-factor. It's not even worth mentioning. She's going to rise above that. She's going to rise and elevate as her name is known, and she's going to rise to the top to where she's in a position to reach the people that you have called her for. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 919-292.
Hello, Tanisha. This is Shaquella from North Carolina.
Hey, Shaquella. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm blessed. I know it's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that you called in tonight, because I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it so strong tonight, so I'm glad you called in so you can get some of what God has for you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right, I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Shaquella, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for the fork in the road. I see a fork in the road for you. And a lot of times people call that a crossroads, right? You get to a place and you don't know which way to turn. You've reached a fork in the road. You don't know if you're supposed to go right. You don't know if you're supposed to go left. And most people, when they get to a fork in the road, they just stand there. I've been there. I have been there where I'm just sitting there and I don't know which way to go. And one of the times when I was at a fork in the road moment in my life, right? And sometimes a fork of the road moment is not always a physical move. Sometimes it's just a decision, you know, to make concerning, it could be anything. It could be a job. It could be relationships. It could be whatever, right? You know when you've reached a fork in the road. But I had reached one of those moments. I was in a fork in the road. And so I was seeking wisdom. I was seeking godly counsel. I was asking advice from people that I trusted, right? People who weren't just the rah-rah cheerleading team, but people who would really give me meaningful and insightful advice on what they felt I should do about the situation. And even after hearing their thoughts, I still was very confused and very conflicted. And so I just was like, God, I don't know what to do. And God gave me a dream. And in the dream, I was in a forest, and I was lost, and I didn't know which way to go. I knew I needed to get out of the forest, but I didn't know how to get out of the forest. And so then all of a sudden, I see two suns. One's like the normal color of the sun, normal intensity, all that. And the other was very bright, but it had this kind of green tint to it. So this kind of looked off. And then after these two suns appeared, I could see in the forest that there were other people who were also lost. And so I'm telling them, I'm lost. I got to get out of here. And some of the people were saying, we're going to go this way because this sun's brighter. So it's going to guide us where we need to go. And I'm like, but it's kind of green. It doesn't look right. And they're like, no, this one's brighter. We're going to go with this one. And then some of the people were like, no, I'm going this sun because that's how the normal sun looks. It might be smaller and it might be not as bright, but this is the right sun. And more people were going on the side of the bright green sun than were going on the side of the normal sun. But I knew that I couldn't just follow the crowd, or I couldn't just follow what seemed to be the brightest, because something was off about it. That kind of greenish tint was throwing me off. So I said, I'm just going to go with the one that I know is the right sun. It's the correct sun. because even though it's not as bright, so it might take me longer to get out of here, I know that I'm, it's right. And so that's what I did. I woke up from the dream and I knew instantly what I was supposed to do. And the decision that I made would have been a little bit of a harder path, but it was what was needed to be done. And if I had not done it, I wouldn't be talking to you tonight. And so I see you at a fork and I see the Lord giving you, like he gave me that dream, giving you what you need so that you can make your decision. And me telling you even the story so that you're not looking at signs per se. Like in the dream, people thought it was a sign because that sun was bigger and it was brighter. So that was a sign basically that was going to get them out quicker versus the natural sun. You're going to know. Because sometimes things come and it looks like it's a sign, but then there's something off about it, right? The greenish sun was off. I've never in life seen a greenish sun ever. So I knew it was off. Even though it felt like, yeah, this is going to get me out quicker. Because sometimes when we're in a fork or if we're in a situation where we want to get out as fast as possible, right? And so then we'll say, well, that's a sign. Because really we're just trying to hurry up and get out, and then we use the things that stand out as signs, and then it's not really what we need to be, where we need to be. And so God is teaching you that sometimes we see signs and we'll think that the signs are from God because really that just seems like the easier path. But there's still always something off about it, and then there's no peace. But God is going to help you at your fork to where you're going to accept, this is what I need to do, and there's going to be peace. And even though you know it might be the harder path, of, you know, it's the right one. So, Lord, we just thank you for Shaquela. We thank you, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for being such a gracious God that you answer. You answer prayers. You guide your people. You love your people. You're always prompting and getting us where we need to be. And I just thank you for that, Father God, for the love that you have for her. Let her feel your love, Lord Jesus. And let her have peace tonight that she's in your hands. Let her have that peace. There's always a unrest and an uneasiness, Lord, when we don't know what to do, but give her peace to know that you are there with her, guiding her, leading her, and directing her, and she will make the decision that you want her to make. Let her have peace about that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller here is 954-580.
Hello. Good night. This is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's pray for you. Hear what the Lord has to say. Lord, we just thank you right now from Carolyn, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the tucking in. I see the Lord tucking you in. It's kind of like when you go to bed. I don't think people really tuck in anymore. I kind of like to tuck myself in. But traditionally, you'd be tucked in so that you wouldn't fall out the bed, you know. That way you're in. And then also, science has proven that when you have covers on you very tight, it makes you sleepy and it makes you feel secure and safe. That's why, like, when babies are newborns, they swaddle them. So it's basically like wrapping them like a burrito because it calms them and it makes them feel safe and secure. And it's in a tight spot, like when they were in their mother's womb. And I see God doing that with you. He's tucking you. So one, you don't fall, right? He's not going to let you fall. And two, so that you feel warm and cozy. When we feel warm and cozy, the next thing is typically sleep. Because that's what we do right at night. Most people, you know, some people like to feel like they're in a meat locker when they're asleep. Like one of my sons likes to sleep in the cold, and it's been that way since he was a baby. Like he came out the womb sweating in the head and needing fans on him and stuff so that he could be comfortable at night. But for most people, the goal at night is to be warm and cozy, even in the summertime, because it brings on the chemicals that release in your brain that make you fall asleep. And so then you're getting rest. And so I see God tucking you in life, to one, make you feel warm and cozy, so to speak, so that you're resting. Because you can't rest without sleep. You need sleep to really properly rest, so that you're resting and sleeping. And when we get levels to sleep, if you ever study sleep, there's levels to it, right? All sleep is not created the same, because you could be a light sleeper and your cuckoo clock goes off and you're jumping out your skin. And then you hear, a drip coming from the faucet. You're jumping out, you're just not resting. But then when your brain gets to a certain deep level of sleep, you start to snore and you start to experience REM and your cells start to regenerate. There's all these different things that happen at the different levels of sleep. So we need it to properly rest. And sometimes people will sleep and not rest. But God, I see God tucking you in, making you warm and cozy so that you're really getting rest, and so that you feel safe and secure. There's three parts to this. One, so you don't fall. Okay, that's first and foremost. You're not going to fall, and you're not going to fail. Secondly, so that you're feeling warm and cozy, so to speak, so that you're resting. You're able to rest. And three, so that you feel secure. So he's tucking you in. He's going to tuck you in life, right? It's like, think about when you lay in bed and if somebody were to tuck you into bed, how they kind of do this hand motion. They put the covers under you, so to speak, and you're all tucked in. You're going to start feeling like things are tucked in. That's what you're going to feel like. Things aren't all loosey-goosey and, just we're holes, shot full of holes or loose and all that. No, you're going to feel like your life is tucking in. Your life. This is a life thing. Okay, God's using an analogy of a bed, right? But he's talking about your life. You're going to feel like your life is feeling tucked in and secure, right? In all areas, and where you can rest and where you're not going to fall and fail. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for Carolyn, Father God. And we thank you for the miracle realm. We thank you for the justice realm. And we thank you for the receiving, where she's entering a season of receiving the things that you would have for her. And even receiving things, like I see people trying to hold things back from you. And you're going to enter into a season where you receive those things. So don't even let that like upset you or bother you, because you're still going to get it. Nobody can hold back from you what God has for you. Nobody. So Lord, we just declare your word over her life, and let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That was good. Okay. 405-250.
Hi, Tanisha. This is Lucretia.
Hey, Lucretia. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to mute you and pray for you.
Thank you.
Well, we just thank you. You're welcome. We thank you right now for Lucretia, Father God. We thank you for the woman of God that you made her to be, Lord Jesus. We thank you for I feel like your hands being anointed, like you have an anointed touch. Where you touch things. Like Terrence has an anointed touch. When Terrence, like if he were to, like, let's say he just patted you on the hand, just touched your arm or something like that, he literally has a touch that makes you feel like everything's gonna be okay. I can't even describe it. He has such a anointed touch. It doesn't matter what he touches on. You could touch the top of your head. You could touch, your elbow, whatever, but you feel like once he touches that, like it just feels so good, like, oh man, everything's gonna be great. And I see God using you to where the things that you touch, like you have an anointed touch, you start touching things because you really have an anointing on your touch. I remember when I was newly a believer, right? And just to give you a little bit of my background, if you haven't heard me talk about it, I was not raised in church. I was not even raised in a Christian home. I was raised more on the agnostic side, so believing that there was something, but not quite knowing what it is. Even though I was raised with godly principles, I just didn't know they were godly principles. You know, my parents would teach my sister and I to do unto others as you want done unto you, and all that kind of stuff. And we were taught to have morals, right, and ethics, and all that, but just not taught about Jesus and all that kind of thing. And I didn't know about, quote, church things and all that kind of stuff. It was all new to me when I became a believer. But I remember early in my walk when I would pray during praise and worship, which has always been my favorite part of any church service. I love the word of God, but I love praise and worship. I would feel like oil was dripping in my hand. And I didn't know what to make of it. It was freaking me out, truth be told. Few times I kind of crack my eye open to see, like, is there a heat lamp on? Like, what's causing this sensation? And it was really, really starting to really freak me out to where I was, like, almost terrified. And so I prayed about it. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? What is this sensation that I get during praise and worship? It feels like something's dripping on my hand and there's nothing there. And so went to a Wednesday night service, and there was a woman there. She was very anointed, a very prophetic woman as well. But she pulled me to the side and said, hey, I was praying during praise and worship, and God allowed me to see in the spirit. And she said, there were angels around you, and one of them was dripping oil in your hand. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And I had that sensation during that service again. And she goes, yeah, he's dripping oil. Like, from, she described the whole thing. And I was so excited, but I knew that it was, a God thing. And I asked God, what was the angel doing? Like, what is he doing? Like, why was the angel dripping oil in my hand? God had revealed to me that there would come a time in my life where he would use me to heal people, to touch people and heal them. And I have not entered that particular stage of my life at this time, but I know it's coming because God showed it to me. And I actually felt that oil dripping in my hand several times during praise and worship service. So I've already been anointed to do it. Just like David was anointed to be king before he actually came into the kingship. So I've been anointed to heal with my hands, with a physical touch. I've been anointed to do that, even though I've not entered into that stage of ministry as of yet. But I'm seeing that similar with you, Lucretia, that you have anointed hands. So just start touching things. Your touch will change things. Just touch stuff. Touch people. I know that that's really taboo to do right now because of, the fact that we're in a pandemic, but do it as led by God, because, there's a power to touch. There is a power when we are anointed to touch, there's power that comes along with that to change things. So Lord, just help Lucretia walk in that, Father God, and help her to walk in wisdom, of course, above all things, in that with your insight and your knowledge. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's amazing. All right, next caller here is 828-989.
Hi, Tanisha. This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
Awesome. All right, let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Jennifer. Father God, we thank you for the gentleness and the softness, Father God, of who you are, and her experiencing that, her experiencing the gentleness. I see you seeing God so gentle, so gentle, seeing who the softness of God. There's so many sides of God. It's amazing. You know, when we read the word of God, even the different, names of God, there's so many sides of God. But when we look at the world that we live in and he created, all these things, of course there's so many sides of him. Think about us as people. Think of all the different sides that we have as people. You know, like myself, I am a bookworm. I love books. I love words. I love beauty, though. I love anything beautiful. I love art and music. I love great food and laughter. I love to laugh. I love things that are funny. I love comedies. I love there's so many things. I just love beautiful things. And I love to write poetry and all sorts of stuff. There's people, we have so many sides. I love hair, all things hair, wigs and doing braids and all. Well, I don't love to do braids, but I'm good at it. You know, I love beauty, beauty products and stuff like that. There, all of us have so many different sides to us where somebody might say, well, you know, Tanisha, you love to do, you know, you love that. Yeah, I love a lot of stuff that people wouldn't guess that I loved and like and things that I'm into or things that I'm good at. You know, I'm good. I'm a good cook. Terrence is too. He sleeps now, but don't tell him I said that. Sometimes he's better than me, and I'm actually a great cook, Terrence as well. But there's, you know, so many different things. We have so many different sides, even as humans, and God has so many different sides to Him. And you're gonna really experience that gentle side of God, that soft side, just so gentle and soft. And it's going to change your view about things, because God of war. Well, He could be a man of war, right? He's our healer. You know, He's full of wisdom. He's love. He's all these things. And he is soft, and he is gentle, because he's the great I am. He's anything that we need him to be. And sometimes we need that. We need him to be soft, and we need him to be gentle. And he's always going to supply all of our needs, because sometimes we want things soft and gentle, and that's not what we need. But God is always going to supply our needs. But I see God showing you that side, that soft, that gentle side. It's going to change you. You know, Randy has talked a lot of times where he saw the side of God, his comedic side, you know, saw him laughing at things, and it changed him. He said he was all serious, all ultra serious, until he saw that vision of Jesus laughing. And God does have a sense of humor. We laugh and joke all the time. And that's made me embrace who I am, because, you know, Terrence would tell you that I'm always cracking jokes and laughing. Terrence, too, he's super funny. He's a really funny person. But when you know God has that side, it makes you embrace that side of you, because you're like your father, you know. And so God is going to really show you that gentle, soft side, and it's going to change you, you know, for the better, and help you to embrace that part of you. So Lord, we just thank you for Jennifer, Father God, the softness and the gentleness that you're going to show her, and the softness and gentleness that she's going to even show others. People need that. They need that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller is 334-590.
Hi, Jayla.
Hey, Jayla. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Awesome to speak to you tonight. We mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Jayla, Father God. We thank you for the maturity. The maturity. When I was a child, I walked like a child. I talked like a child, but I became a man and put childish things behind me. That's the word of God. What we are experiencing in that scripture is maturity, right? Because when we're mature or mature, however you want to pronounce it, when we do things that are childlike, what do we call it? Childish. And that's the opposite of maturity. To say, that's what we say to people, are they acting childish? Because it's not acting mature. And I see God maturing you in things. Some things. And sometimes just because something is, quote, childish, when we hear the word childish, we think of people doing things, namely, that are petty, right? But sometimes we do things that are childish because we still have it developed in a certain area. So it's not even coming from a negative place. It's not that we are being petty, you know. I knew of an adult who still tied their shoes with rabbit ears. Right, when we're young, we're taught to do the two loops, and then the loops go over, and you go under, and you go under the bridge, and you tie it together, and you tie your shoes. Where some people do the one string, like me, I do the one string, I get a spring, right, make a loop, get a spring, wrap it around it, pull it through, and tuck it. You know, some people think the bunny ears, tying your shoes with bunny ears, is childish. But if you don't know how to tie it the other way, you're not being childish on purpose. That you're just doing what you know to do. So I see God maturing you in areas that are, it's like tying your shoes with bunny ears. If you tie your shoes with bunny ears, you're not trying to be petty. You just don't know no other way. Because you haven't, from a child, you haven't learned anything else, how to do it another way since childhood, which makes it childish. And so that's what I'm saying when God is maturing you and he's taking you out of things that are childish, not that you're being petty, but it's just that you haven't learned another way to do it from childhood. So he's maturing you. So now you're not doing the same things that you were doing as a child because he's maturing you and he's going to give you adult ways to do it, different ways to do it, advancing you, growing you. And then once you're advanced and you're grown in certain areas, you grow up in areas, then you put those childish ways behind you. Once you learn how to do the, you know, one loop wrap around, you don't do bunny ears no more because it takes too long. So that's what I mean. So, Lord, we just thank you for Jayla and the maturing, Father God, the growing up and her putting childish ways behind her. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller, 614-432.
Yes. Good evening. This is Deborah from Ohio.
Hey, Deborah. How are you?
Oh, and yourself.
Amen. Let's pray for you. Lord, we just thank you right now. For Deborah, Father God, we thank you for the, I see you having like a very sensitive spirit, like where you can, like a discernment, there we go, that you have very strong discernment to things, and I see God really using you in that realm of discernment. Trust it. Trust your discernment. Because sometimes things will look a certain way, right? They'll look great. And your discernment will say, nobody right about that. Like we were talking about earlier in the show, that insight, godly insight and godly knowledge. Because somebody could be coming to you from a credible source. They're credible, right? They've got a great rep. They're telling you something and you're like, something's off. And that discernment is like a radar, right? It's telling you, no, or yes, you know, it's like a radar. And when it's telling you no, you see God for that. So God, give me your insight on this, God. God, give me your knowledge so that I know what in the world is going on. Because I only know things from a human level, from a human perspective, but I can get sight inside of sight, which is insight, right? Insight is sight inside of sight. So I need to see beyond what I can see, insight. Give it to me so that I see what's in the core of this. Every time I think of the word insight, I think of seeing something on the outside being regular sight and then insight seeing what it is on the inside. And that's what insight is to me because what it is what's on the inside, even with people. As a man thinketh, so he is. You know, out of the mouth flows the issues of the heart. So what a person is, it's all coming from things on the inside, right? Thoughts and what's in their heart and all that kind of stuff. So I want to see on the inside. I want to see the part that I can't see with my vision or what my human sight. I want to be able to see it on the inside. That has to come from God. And I see you really operating very strongly with discernment. And God, and you going to God for the insight and for the knowledge from his perspective and really helping people, like saving them from some really things that could have really taken them down, you know, and then giving you, you're going to, of course, always, like as always, you're going to give God all the glory, you know, and it's going to draw people to Christ because people are going to say, there's no way that you would have known that. And you're going to say, yeah, there isn't no way I would have known that. Which is why you need to have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. You need to become part of the fold because, you know, if it weren't for God's love for you and his grace and mercy, using me as a servant, that could have been really bad for you. But you have the option. You can choose to serve him. You can choose to have a relationship with him as well. You don't need me. You need him. So, Lord, we just thank you. Bless Deborah, Father God. Bless her. Bless her, Father God, to speak blessings over her life, Lord Jesus, and let people be drawn to her, that they need the discernment that she possesses. They need for her to give them wisdom. because they don't have the wisdom, because they don't have the reverential fear of you. They need her wisdom and then her guidance to how they can obtain it on their own and to become servants of you, Father God. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller, 903-808.
Yes, ma'am. This is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. How are you?
I'm good, hon. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just thank you right now for Janie. We thank you for hidden things, hidden treasures. I'm excited about that. The Lord had given us a word, Terrence and I, similar, about the hidden things. This was years ago, and we're starting to see it come into fruition. Like even the house that we are building right now, this was not some like, it wasn't advertised. It was even the builder we have. It's like not a well-known builder. It's like literally something hidden. And even how we came about getting the house, there's a waiting list and the house was already sold and the people backed out. The whole thing was such a God thing. It was just such a God thing. And that's what I see with you, Janie. I see like hidden treasure. Like there's hidden treasure that God has just for you. So it's like when things are hidden, God reveals them in his timing, in his timing. And that's what I see. Like you just keep waking up. You just keep living. You just keep seeking him. And as the days go, you know, maybe on this day, maybe, you know, this Thursday, then this hidden treasure will be revealed. Then next Wednesday, that hidden treasure will be revealed. It's going to be revealed right when it needs to be revealed. Not a minute before, not a day before. You just keep doing what you do. That's it. Feel the need to go put gas in your car? Go put gas in your car. It might be a divine appointment. I tell people the story all the time about when I met Terrence. I was literally going to get a haircut from a whole different barber. I'd never been in that barbershop a day in my life and was late. And the barber was not being very nice that was supposed to cut my son's hair because I was late and I was calling and texting him. He's ignoring me. I'm like, should I even still come? I thought his attitude was nasty, so I didn't even want to go no more. I'm like, I'm not going to go there. I don't like his attitude. And God said, get to that barbershop. Get there. So I'm like, fine, you know, I'll go. And I was super late. The guy never even spoke to me. I walked in, introduced myself. Hey, I'm Tanisha. This is my son. I was trying to call you. I was trying to text you. There was traffic. It was raining. And he asked Terrence, could he cut my son's hair? That's how I met Terrence. While I was thinking I was there for a haircut, I was there to meet my future husband. I had no idea. That was something hidden, like a hidden treasure. And that's what I'm seeing. Like, God has all these things, these hidden treasures for you that you're not going to, it's not like he's going to say, go here because there's a hidden treasure. You're just going to go there and then you're going to see and discover hidden treasure like that at that moment. So just be encouraged that God has so much stored up for you and so many things that it's just a matter of timing. It's already there. It's already available. It's just a timing thing. You just keep waking up and being obedient. That's it. Lord, we just thank you right now for Janie, Father God, the hidden treasures. For them to be revealed in your timing. We thank you for the blessings in her life, Father God. We thank you for the love, Father God, the love that you have for her, Father God. We thank you for the love that she has for you and for your people. And let her just continue to be used by you, Father God, and to bring light and hope into this world. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next one, 405-875. You there, 405-875? I can hear background noise. All right, well, maybe you put your phone down. I'm going to pray for you anyway. Lord, we thank you for 405-875. Father God, we thank you for victory. Victory. Sometimes we don't even know we're in a battle, and God still gives us victory. And it's once we get out of the battle that we say, wow, I was in a battle. We didn't know it at the time, but I see you getting victory. You getting victory in battles that you didn't even know that you were in. That's what a God that we serve. What a God that we serve. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He's always looking out for us. He's always looking out for his people, even when we are unknowing or ignorant to things. But I see you winning. you winning, you getting victory in battles. And I see God restoring things for you. Things that look like they were damaged and demolished, them being restored. So we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller here is 903-918.
Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle, how are you tonight?
I'm good, and y'all?
Doing pretty good. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, we thank you right now for Michelle. We thank you for, I see you, Michelle, like when I was a kid, I liked to watch like vampire movies and movies about like slayers and all this kind of stuff. There's all these different creatures, right? There's like the wolfman and vampires and all this kind of stuff. And there'd always be like a character that knew how to take them out, take them down. That's what I see with you. I see you being like a demon slayer. God really using you in the spiritual warfare realm to take out demons and to identify them. Terrence and I were speaking the other day about psychology, right, and spirituality. And when you study psychology and they have all these different conditions, right, like they're schizophrenics, they have manic depressive, borderline personality disorder, narcissists, there's all these different conditions. And I told Terrence when I took psychology classes before in college, I took them as a requirement, but I ended up really enjoying them, that with a lot of these conditions, they diagnose based on characteristics, right? There's not a blood test that they could take or a brain scan that they can give them. A lot of the time it's based on behavioral characteristics. So they say, if this person has this, 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 and this, then this is the diagnosis that they have. And I told Terrence what people don't realize is that a lot of psychologists are identifying demons, right? Like, let's go with the narcissist spirit. If you study the narcissist spirit and you study the Jezebel spirit, it's the same. A narcissist has a Jezebel spirit, but the world has identified it and given it the title of a narcissist, but really it is it's a Jezebel spirit if you study both of them. And so it's so real, right, that even human psychology identifies different spirits that they label as mental disorders or defects. But we know as believers that there's spirits driving a lot of these mental, quote, labeled mental disorders and defects. And now there are conditions that they can actually do blood tests because it's, you know, chemical imbalance, or they can do brain scans because there's been damage to certain lobes of the brain. That's a whole different conversation. But I'm talking about the ones that they can identify based on characteristics, because spirits have characteristics, right? And I see God really using you like a psychologist, where you'll be able to identify based on behavior and stuff. You'll be able to identify when people have certain spirits, and you'll know how to combat it. Because you know God is using you in the realm of spiritual warfare. Because a lot of times with even a narcissist spirit, when I was studying psychology, a lot of them, psychologists felt that it could not be cured, but it could be treated, right? And one thing I've learned in my 42 years is that Jezebel spirit is a very nasty one, and it is hard to get people delivered from, because it's an identifying spirit. People identify with it, so they don't see where they end and that spirit begins, because they're kind of one and the same. You know, it takes over their whole personality and how they, you know, act and all that, their thoughts and all that, so they don't see anything different. It's crazy. But I see God using you in the spiritual warfare realm, and you being able to identify spirits. Just like a psychologist can identify, they don't call it spirits, they call it mental defect or disorders, and then they get a course of treatment or whatever. But we know that truly a deliverance is needed, and Christ is needed for a person to really be set free from those spirits. So Lord, we just thank you for Michelle. We thank you for using her in the spiritual warfare realm, which is a realm that a lot of people shy away from and don't want nothing to do with. But we need our spiritual warriors, because we're all fighting a battle. All of us are fighting a battle every day, a spiritual battle every day. You know, we're fighting the good fight of faith. That's a spiritual battle. because the enemy is trying to steal our faith and our belief. Why? Because as a man thinketh, so he is, and what man sets his mind to, that shall he accomplish. So we're always in a fight for our faith. Whether we realize it's a spiritual fight or not. But so many people, they hear the term spiritual warfare, oh, they start shaking in their boots. No, who cares? We're going to win. We win. So we shouldn't be afraid of a fight that's already been won. But Lord, we just thank you for using leaders like Michelle, Father God, to be bold in the fight and to teach that it's a victorious fight. And use her, Father God, to slay the demons, so to speak. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everybody. Thank you all for calling in tonight. I hope you guys don't hear Terrence snoring in the background. He's sleeping so hard. But thank you so much for calling in. Be sure to call back. Usually on Wednesdays, Randy prays over all the callers, kind of like I did. Just unmute, get your name, and pray for you. And we just love you all. We really do. Keep Terrence up in prayer. Pray for traveling mercy for him as he heads out for his uncle's funeral tomorrow. And just love you all. I'm just praying God's mercy, blessing, and grace over your lives. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And I'm going to clear it up for Randy. Good night, you guys.